Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Poetry with Flavor. This is your host, Miss Lucy. I thank you for joining me this evening, and I hope that you'll find something enjoyable to talk about after our podcast. I need to say this, and I've said it many times. My mind has a mind of its own at this age and stage I'm living in. And I went on an adventure this past Wednesday. I've been so excited about it before I went, excited during, and it's over with, but I'm still excited, and it has pushed me to do more research on it. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about juke joints. And one in particular in Charlotte, North Carolina, called Pop Govan's Green Valley Drink Stand. Well, one of our listeners, Miss Odessi, are you there? She found out about it, and I was just thrilled to know that there was still remnants of juke joints around. So we got to visit it on this past Wednesday, and I took photographs. I got to touch the building, walk around the building. Many weeds and trees and bushes, which I'm still suffering from because I'm telling you, every bug that was there jumped on my clothing or in my clothing, and I'm still scratching. Okay, let me just say a little bit about juke joints. The juke joint originated with African Americans in the South, and it was a gathering place for socializing and communicating and find out what's going on and what you needed to know. The spelling varies. Some places you'll see it spelled J-U-K-E, and other places is J-O-O-K. And sometimes it's been called a barrel house. But they all originated in Southeast United States. And they began in slavery. Okay. The juke joints weren't very big buildings or anything. They were more like a, and there was no big construction to make them. Is usually remnants of wood and clapboard and tin that were just put up to give shelter, and not much decoration going on, although some would, the one we saw did have ten advertisements on the outside for Chesterfield cigarettes, and it had two windows and one door entry. But just a few steps outside of that building was another smaller building, which we surmise may have been a bathroom for the guests. And it was a place for music and dancing and gambling, and musicians would come. Banjos and guitars and fiddles were normally the instruments that were used. And there were dances going on, group dances and couples and solo dancing. And then the infamous slow drag dancing. There was moonshine to be had, which some people call white lightning, which is the liquor made from a still that would be even further buried up in the woods somewhere. Music began with the blues, and then it grew to varied sounds like the popular term, today would be honky-tonk, which took on a more upbeat tempo for dancing. The quarters were, I didn't get to measure, I didn't think about it until I got home that I wish I had measured or just counted my steps around the building to see actually how large it was, but it was very, very small. And most of them were very close quarters, and it dim lighting and smoke filled often, and bodies so close together that you really didn't have that much room to move around, let alone breathe. So you had musicians in there, and you had people dancing, and as I said, the building wasn't a strong, sturdy building. The floor may have been just scraps of wood that were laid out. That's why everybody'd be so dusty when they'd come out of the place. But all in all, the juke joint served its purpose, which was fun for all. So I got so excited over it. I'm still excited over it. But I went on YouTube and looked at pictures of people in the juke joint. Oh, my goodness. They looked like they were having so much fun, and I could actually hear the music in my head. And then I said,
We did have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Because, you know, the Trent Gym was a juke joint. Let me stop.
Well, technically.
You don't get that.
It served that purpose.
Okay, I did, and so I went through my papers, and I do have two little pieces that I wrote on the juke joint, but I'm going to write another piece about the juke joint because now I know a little more. But this one was a haiku that I wrote, and okay, I'll just say it. Juke joint. Can mayonnaise jars need refilling? All right, and this is the poem I wrote. It's called The Juke Joint. The square frame clapboard building stood in the middle of a grassless lot filled with cars and trucks that had pounded the earth into a fine dust which covered every pair of shoes that walked its path. It didn't matter. It's where everybody was and where some shouldn't have been. So those are the two pieces I wrote about. So I got so interested in it, I wanted to know who was Pop Govins. And I'm still not certain who Pop Govins is that owned that juke joint, and I'll tell you why. When I researched Pop Govins, his name was George Lee Govin, and he has a stellar reputation, a godly man, a family man, and he was high up in the community. He was well respected. Well, my little bit of knowledge of the juke joint, I'm thinking now, this church man can't be the owner of a juke joint. Because see, in my mind, I'm thinking the juke joint, you know, you think I was thinking raucous and raunchy and, you know, the gambling, the dancing, the drinking. I said, the two don't go together. Well, anyway, I talked to Miss Odessi, and I'm telling you, she is a wealth of information. She George Govins, the gentleman I was speaking of with the stellar reputation, was high up in the church that Miss Odessi attends. And come to find out, Miss Odessi's hairdresser is Mr. Govins' daughter. And I'm going to get a chance to meet her next week or this week. And so I have some questions for her. I want to know, was Pop Govins, Pop Govins Green Valley drink stand, I want to know, are they the same Govin, or is the Pop Govins of the juke joint, is he a relative of George Govin? I can't
yes.
wrap my head around.
You got it. He's a relative. He was George Govan's uncle.
Oh, right. Now I can relax and know that George Lee has gone on to heaven. Okay.
Oh, so that was his uncle.
Yes, that was his uncle.
Oh, okay.
I just could not wrap my head around that, and I said that was going to be the first question I was going to ask his daughter, Drusilla. Who owned
well,
that?
And she'll verify it for you.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I got so excited. Oh, I'll tell you something I didn't get excited about. I don't know how many bugs were in that grass, in those weeds, in those trees.
Well, now, you know, Odessa and I didn't go too close.
Nope.
I know.
That's right.
I had to get all up in it. Now I'm suffering for it. I thought I had three bites, and I'm telling you, they must have had like those time release, because I've got seven bites, and
oh my goodness,
little monsters! If I go again, I'm taking my blood spray.
Yeah. Okay.
That's their area you're invading. You're invading their area. Therefore,
right.
They have right to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but I wasn't going to do anything to them. I was just looking.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Let's get it. Wait a minute. One second. Okay.
Why
this
you
is
looking,
called Mother
did they make,
Go ahead.
Did they make a distinction between the hole in the wall and juke joint?
I thought they were the same too.
Yeah, I thought it was a name. Some people call it a barrel house. Some say a hole in the wall. You know. I think they're, you know, it just varies.
Okay.
Let's see. This is called Mother Earth Rhymes. There's two separate rhymes in here. And I don't think I need to explain. Okay. Jamal, be nimble. Jamal, be quick. Jamal, jump over that police nightstick. Jamal, be smart. Jamal, be clever. Jamal, don't do drugs now or ever. Okay. The second one has to do with, I'll just own up to it. I just came up in an era where I have difficulty with, you know, they call our black men now, they call them passport bros, because they're looking for women, any women other than black women. And it just breaks my heart, because that's a continuous breakdown of the black family. But anyway, this poem, this little Mother Earth line says, Mary had a fine black man whose skin was dark as coal. She paraded him through Whitetown until he tired and put her down. She hollered loud and drew a crowd. Now blue lights are flashing through the night. I think this self done it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. This has to do with aging. People don't like that topic, but it happens to everybody. This is called Beginnings and Endings. Grandchild on the way, daughters full of life, looking forward to a new beginning, although it punctuates how late the day and my all too soon approaching ending.
Oh, that's
ain't an old lady today. Whew, somebody open that window and turn that fan this way. Lord have mercy on them secret summers. Don't like being no lady today. Been sitting here minding my business. Ain't stirring in nobody's and no people's mess. Been a good woman all my days. Lord, is this some kind of test? If you want to know if my heart is true, take back them secret summers, please do. Or make it sleet and snow until I'm blue. Hurry, Lord, before I lose my footing on that old straight and narrow path and do something I ordinarily wouldn't because the Christian that I am. Well, whilst I'm waiting on you, Lord, I'm going to take me an ice-cold bath.
That's a good one. Very
that
good.
That is. That's a good one.
Okay, this one, okay. This is called, what is this one? Tomorrow has come. Gravity pull. Sagging breast. Body needs lots of rest. Cotton underwear. Plain white, no dare. No one to look anymore. No one to care. Uneven gray and wiry tresses. Getting used to longer dresses. Mustache on my upper lip. No more perfect fingernail tips. Toothless grin and hairs on the chin. Tomorrow has come. Okay. This, oh my God. I think this is 1991. It's called a Visit from the Queen. And that was Queen Elizabeth. She came to Washington, D.C. in 1991 to an area called Marshall Heights, which was literally a shanty town, boarded up housing, run down, dilapidated, you know, crack cocaine haven. And one of the oldest African-American community. Well, because she was coming, you know they cleaned it up.
Mm-hmm.
A visit from the Queen. Little black boys and little black girls scrubbed clean and made shiny like brand new toys. Taught how to bow and curtsy low for a visit from the pale-faced woman who calls herself Queen, wearing their rightful crown.
Mm. Very good. Very
yeah,
good.
I like that too. Mm. Uh-huh.
That was in 91?
1991.
What was the name of that section again?
Marshall Heights.
Marshall Heights. Okay, I wasn't watching. I can't place that one.
Okay. Let me, this is, what's this called? This is called Longing. Now, I make a reference in here to Mother Bobian, and I just want to, she was a wonderful woman, and she was the leader of the of our Brownie troop. Back in the day, we had Girl Scouts, and we had Brownies.
Uh-huh.
You had to be a Brownie before you could become a Girl Scout. But, okay. This is called Longing. Longing for the days of children's laughter, jacks played on the front steps, and mud pie lunches with green leaf and dandelion tea, tossed weeds and mulberry salad, quenched with rainwater soda pop. Refreshed, we enjoyed a game of hopscotch, drawn with a brisket from the coal bin, playfully, gleefully, with a large heel from Daddy's old shoe. Longing for childhood's return, remembering greased knees and faces scrubbed shiny clean, buttercup and honeysuckle bouquets for Ma, days of magic words like thank you and please, of being seen and not heard, of little Sally Ann and Miss Mary Mack, of afternoon bubble baths and nap time till 3 o'clock when we donned our uniforms and became Brownies off to Mother Bobian's house. And back in the day, our day was divided up. The beginning of the day, of course, you had to do your chores and stuff where you could go outside. But when you went outside, you were on a timeline. You only had so much time to go out there and play and run around and stuff. And then you had to come in and take a bath and take a nap. And after the nap, you didn't put on play clothes like shorts. You had to put on a skirt and blouse. And you could go back outside, but you couldn't get off of the front steps. And, well, that's how it was at my house. All we could do was sit there and watch everybody else play. But
now,
anyway,
Lucy, I remember old Miss Mary Mac, all dressed in black, but when she had her butt all down her back.
Her mother,
and then,
mother, 15 cents, to see that elephant jump the fence.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great old days. Good old
days. Yes, indeed. Now what the kids say is just unbelievable. They don't know nothing about that.
Everything they play now is on a screen in their hands.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
No imagination.
Yeah.
Nope. So, Garrett, it was some kind of grass that grew around the yard. That would be the hair that we would braid. And just, I would never, you're trying to get a long braid of hair, and you just, that's how you learn to plait hair.
Okay, let me see. Give me a second. You would think I get tired of flipping pages, and I absolutely do.
Well, you have a treasure trove to flip through, an absolute treasure trove.
That's right.
I need to do better, though. I need to. Okay, let me do this one. And I've done this, well, I've done all of them before, but this one is called Sunday's Rump Roast. And I wrote it about Willie Smith. Willie Smith, he was a fashion designer, and he lived in Europe. He's African American. He was born in 1948, and he died in 1987 at the age of 39. And I believe he had AIDS at the time. But he was one of the most successful African-American fashion designers ever. And in 1976, he launched a fashion line called Willie's Wear. And what made his clothing so outstanding and so unique was that he didn't use those stick thin white models. He used his sister as a model who had African hips. And his fashion was like no other. And he used, you know, different fabrics and colors that showed his heritage. And he became very successful. But anyway, so this is called Sunday's Rump Roast. Ample, round, substantial, cushioned, fat fanny, wide ride. Willie Smith understood African hips. Designing skirts and pants that flattered and fit. Thunderbuns, wide traps, black booty, fat back. Yeah, Willie appreciated African hips. Savored them like Sunday's rump roast.
Okay. Oh, I like that. I like that, Lizzie.
Okay,
thank
you.
Very creative.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. His sister, she's still living. Her name is Tukey Smith, and she was a fashion model in New York. And she was went in my head and left me. He was the boyfriend of oh my goodness, what is that man's name? And he just had a baby, and he about 80 some years old. Oh my goodness, what was his name? Because he's a very well-known actor, and it just went out of my head. I'm sorry. Anyway, okay, this is called I Hear Dr. Scholes Laughing All the Way to the Bank. Now, you know who Dr. Scholes is. He's the footman. You want something for your feet, and you go in the store, there's Dr. Scholes pads for bunions and all that kind of stuff. Okay. So that's okay, so the title again is I Hear Dr. Scholes Laughing All the Way to the Bank. They don't make shoes with these feet. Black feet, long, flat, wide, hammer toes and bunions on the side. But I bought them anyway. Gold shoes, slingbacks, 3 inches high, 7 was the size. I got out my Vaseline and greased and massaged and squeezed my toes in them. You know, you remember, what's that? Payless Shoe Store. Remember the Payless Shoe Store?
Oh, yeah, I remember Payless Shoe Store.
Remember.
Yeah. Well, I made friends with the store manager because every time I came, there were no size 10. I got big feet. And they were the first ones to go, 9s and 10s. You could never find them. So she told me that they put up they restock on every Wednesday, and this Wednesday is when I go get my pay list.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's see. This one is called, you can tell I don't have a foot fetish. I just had foot problems my entire life. Here's another one about feet. It's called Feet. Been standing all day. Feet throbbing with pain. 4 days through for today. Maybe a soaking will ease it away. Heels looking like peeled potatoes. Skin's crusty enough to bake a pie. Corns lined up side by side. Hurt so bad I just want to die. But got a party tonight. John Taylor singing the blues. Well, let me get the butter out so I can slide on them pretty new shoes.
Oh, I like that.
Okay, I'm flipping pages. okay. I had two notebooks up there. I'm moving. I'm changing notebooks.
Well, Lucy, that old man who just had the baby, was it Robert De Niro?
Yes.
Yeah, that was on the news.
He just had a baby.
Yeah, I saw that on the news, too. I couldn't think of his name, but I saw it on the news.
Yeah, that was, he used to date her for many years. Tukey Smith is her name. She's the sister of Willie Smith. And the reason I mention her, because she was a top model in New York. And she Robert De Niro's girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay. This is Mississippi River tour. And I went on a tour. You know the big, what do you call those boats? Like the paddle boats? They have like a tourist thing. You can go down the Mississippi, part of the Mississippi River on
they
this
still
big
have
old paddle. Yeah. And they would have stuff going on the boat, entertainment for the tourists. And then you have the leader or whatever, he would tell you stuff about the Mississippi River and so forth, but he never, I tuned him out because he didn't say anything of importance. But anyway, so this is why I wrote this, the Mississippi River tour. I wonder if anyone recalls its hateful history, its vows filled with those who disagreed and thought all to be equal, leisurely floating, enjoying the cross breezes, minds free of remembrances of pain, and Mississippi waters turned bloodstained. The tour guide never mentions about black and white tensions, just how deep and how wide the river flows. No mention, no remembrances. Goodman, Cheney, Swarner, I remember. I'll tell the others. I promise.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. They still have those books. They go from New Orleans to St. Louis.
Mhm. Let's see. I haven't read this one in a while. This is called Envy. Honey child, she come in with them collard green eyes. You know what I'm talking about, girlfriend? Jealousy. Let there be no doubt. But that's the price she's got to pay for always telling her man lies. Now she's staring me down, because all he's got is eyes for my cornbread thighs. Okay. Okay. This, let me see. This is, wait a minute, I got to change my glasses. Okay, in Mama's house, couldn't do nothing on Saturdays unless you first got ready for Sunday and Sunday school and church, which was a whole day away. That meant find your white blouse and pleated skirt and shine your patent leather shoes with Vaseline.
Oh, yeah.
Mama sure could be mean. Made no difference if the neighbor's kids were outside running and playing, laughing and screaming. This was Mama's house, and Mama didn't play that. First things first was Mama's way. But we did as she said, cleaned our rooms, made up our beds, took our dirty clothes downstairs, this wasn't the time to be cute or curt, or for sure, your behind would hurt. On to the kitchen and sweep the floor. Wash the dishes and wipe the fingerprints off the refrigerator door. By the time you were finished, Saturday was almost done, and you only wanted to nap.
That's good.
I remember those set. Mama could press hair, so she pressed just by all the girls' hair in the community every Saturday.
Oh. Mm.
They would come to our house, and she would press their hair. I will never forget that. And we had to sweep the yards on a Saturday so they would look nice on a Sunday.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah. You had to sweep those yards. Yeah.
The grass couldn't grow because we played out there all the time.
That's right.
Okay. Oh, here's another thing about feet. Okay. Listen. Ode to chair dancing. Smooth feet and slender ankles, once adorned by a gold ankle bracelet and pointed toes, spiked heels that executed the fanciest of footsteps to the latest dance craze, and never tired, never got weary. Well, now, they move a little slower, spread beyond recognition into crepe-sole lace-ups that are easy on the corns and keep each step comfortable and sure. But the body remembers the beat, loves the rhythm, and still moves to the music as shoulders, arms, head, and neck create new steps as she sits in her favorite chair by the radio.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. Could somebody tell me what time it is, please?
It's 7:37.
Okay. Okay. This also has to do with the stage of life I'm in. This is called Banana Bread. And I can clearly remember when it came into my head when I saw this squirrel in the yard jump out of the leaves. You know, he was on the leaves, but you could he had half a white tail, and the other half was brown, and his hair was mostly like gray black, but he had like a reddish brown tinge on one side. He was a strange looking little squirrel. Anyway, so this it was just like an epiphany for me about. But anyway, banana bread. I respect spotted bananas and green peppers, bruised peaches and pears. I no longer gag when I see wilted lettuce, touch soft cucumbers or squishy tomatoes, throw them out anymore. Now I make banana bread and take time to look for the good parts that are left. Then I smile and savor their flavors made rich by age. I no longer step on fragile leaves, changing from lush to limp to dust. I won't rake them anymore with a rake. I admire their multicolors. I admire their multicolors that make me take notice of life. I'm in awe that in winter shadow, I'm in awe that in winter shadow, they continue to give pleasure and make memories to let me know there is purpose and beauty even in the end of things.
Oh, that's beautiful, Lucy. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That is
beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay. While I'm flipping pages, you know what? I think I'm going to stop watching the news. There's too much negative crap on the news. And it just seems to get worse each day.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that got me upset. You saw how that was a hoax that young lady made up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was so sad. They are going to talk about that forever.
Yep.
That is, she must have had some kind of, I don't know, mental breakdown, something to do that. But she's ruined herself.
She sure has. And she's hurt, because everybody's always talking about when a black young lady is missing, they don't give the care and attention like they should.
Right.
And they had this national news. They gave the
care and
attention that we needed.
Yep.
And a hoax.
A hoax.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's a nurse caring for patients.
And to need attention that badly, she has some issues.
Yeah. I just hate that.
I hope she gets the treatment she needs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not before they completely demolish her hope of any future. Because they are eating her up on the news.
That'll all remember.
And I'm not going to speak on the topic. I'm just going to mention the topic. Oprah's been in the news lately. I'll just leave it at that.
I hadn't heard anything.
Okay, well, I'm not going to talk about it, but it's not good. Okay.
Oh, it's not?
No. Mm-mm. The good old days. I can't remember. Wait a minute.
I'm going to have to look that
the
one
good
up.
Old days.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything.
Well, it's out there. I just don't want to say anything. I don't like her, never have. I'll say that. In 1984 or 85, I made a doll for Oprah. And the reason I made the doll, I made it of her father. She had just done, I think that was her first television interview. It was probably Bob and Walters, I don't know. She did an interview. She was being interviewed, and she talked about what her father meant to her. And so I made her a doll. At the time I was making, I used to make dolls. I called them the licorice stick kids. And she sent me, probably in the garage, she sent me a letter, a very short letter, but it's still, and it had Oprah, and the paper was like shades of mauve, of purple, very light shades. And so I got so excited. I said, oh, my God, oh, my God, she likes it. Oh, and she sent me a picture of the doll sitting in her chair, in one of her chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, my God. I said, what if she calls me to be on her show? Never happened. But a couple months later, or less time than that, she had a white lady on there who made dolls. I never liked her since.
Oh.
Anyway.
Wow.
Yep. Anyway.
Now,
okay.
I'm like you. She could have featured you.
Oh, yeah. I wonder why she didn't.
Why?
Well, she's made many a white person a millionaire, I'll tell you that.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
She has,
I've always said that, even when she had her show, she always leaned toward them. Right. It was never us.
Yeah, never, never.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Look that up.
But it's terrible what's being said now. I don't want to say it, but
well,
just
please
look it up.
Tell us, because I haven't heard anything.
Well,
no,
if you
I don't
want
to say. I'll just say that it's been said that Stedman was just a front.
Oh, I've heard that before.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. And that
yes.
all the people she hung out with were bad people who are well known, who were bad people. And that's all I'll say. Okay, I'm going to do this poem called The Good Old Days.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, oh, no, I don't know if I want to do this. Hold on. Did that. Sorry. So what did I do with that? I had it in my hand. Well, I'll just do this one. okay. Fragrance. It's called Fragrance. And again, it goes with I'll just call it my journey of aging. Anyway. Her favorite fragrance these days is Febreze linen. Says it ensures she won't smell musty, smell stale like an old lady. She goes to Costco's for the bargain buy of 4 sprays for $5. She buys $20 worth, which does put a dent in her budget, but she's desperate to keep everything, her clothes, her bedroom, her furniture, her curtains, just everything smelling clean and fresh, warding off the aroma of decay and dying. Okay.
Yeah, that's a sad one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me do the Chidmans. Do you all cook chitterlings?
It's been a long time since I've cooked them, but yeah, I mean, I have.
I know how, but no, I'm not a fan.
My mother used to cook them, and I had a cousin who told me either she or a friend of hers put clean their chitterlings, put them in the wash machine. I ain't lying. I am not lying. It must be on the spin cycle.
People,
I don't know.
Now, Lucy, I've heard people put grains in the washing machine.
I've heard that, but no.
Yeah, I've heard that, like collard greens or turnip greens. I've heard they did that.
Wow.
Well,
they're pretty beat up when they come out of a washing machine.
But they said that's the way they cleaned them. They cleaned them, and when they came out, no sand or anything would be on them.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Okay. Well, let me read this. Ode to the I can't talk now. Can't see and can't talk. Ode to the chitlins mystique. Can't wash the dishes. The unholy gray mass is quietly soaking in the sink. Like the calm before the storm of boiling water that will unleash their hard secret. They're seasoned with salt and pepper and vinegar and placed on the stovetop. Their odor rises with the steam, lifting the top of the boiling pot. The aroma floats in every direction, out the kitchen window, onto the street, knocking on every neighbor's door, drifting throughout the house. sneaking around the corner through the living room and up the stairs and, oh, my God, to my room. I run ahead of its trail to close closet doors and to cover my clothes, my shoes, my everything to protect them from getting that telltale day after scent that lets everyone you know and those you don't know just what you had for dinner last night. There's no delicate way to say it. Chitlins downright stink. Those ugly gray, brown, pink things, those swirly, swiggly, wriggly things, who would ever think that they could please a palate? And Daddy swears I'm not his child if I don't fix a plate as he doctors his portion with red hot sauce. But chitlins will not bring a smile to these downturned lips, no matter how much collard greens and potato salad and cornbread on the side. I just don't get it. What is the attraction? Especially when you know what passes down the winding and twisting canal. But everyone seems to enjoy them. They eat and eat and eat and tell jokes about the meat, about how Mrs. Wallace's chitlins ain't good because she don't clean them right, and how Mrs. Jefferson served some pregnant chitlins and folks got sick. And they continue to talk and eat and compliment the cook, saying, these is show some mouth-watering, lip-smacking, kiss your mama, thank you, good-eating chitlins. And I just don't see the appeal and find it a rather distasteful meal. That's it.
But, Lucy, you know they gave us chitlins at Livingstone.
They did.
I never touched
them. They sure did.
Oh,
well,
my.
The thing is, I
couldn't figure out how they could get so many to, I mean, serve it for dinner. They had to have a lot, right?
Yeah, they probably had.
They served chitlins.
Everybody in my family ate soul food except me. Every time Mama did those chitlins, I got a bowl of Ralston or Purina or what's that other hot cereal? I forgot the name of it. Well, anyway, I'd be eating a bowl of cereal. I'm the kid that would take peas and hide them under the potatoes or something. Stick them in a napkin and ball it up. There have been so many desserts that I didn't get because I didn't eat my food.
Oh, my goodness.
I used to get, they would get the cake and the ice cream. I'd get nothing except my plate still sitting in front of me, until I eat. Let's see. Okay, we got time for one more. What time is it, someone?
7:53.
Okay. Okay, this is very short. It's called Natural Causes. Death of black male youth by murder is called natural causes. Okay. Let's see. I'm looking for one more. Let me see.
While you're looking, I got a question. Does anybody know who does the theme song for this program? I love that music.
What's this program?
Yeah, your program. The name of the theme song or whose music that is, I love that theme song.
Ask Mr. Willie. I don't hear it.
Yeah, when it first comes on and you're waiting for the others to arrive, that music is beautiful. but I don't know who composed it. Is Mr.
I don't.
Maybe
you know
he.
Yeah, he. You know he. The that tornado that was in Nash County. He just missed that tornado. He was on a train headed back Charlotte. And he was on, there were two trains that were stopped because trees fell on the track. The tornado had just gone through. Yeah, he was blessed. Yep.
He sure was.
Yep. I wanted him to talk about that too. Mr. Willie, he's gone. I guess he got tired of hearing.
Maybe I can ask him next week because that theme song is, I love that music.
Isn't it something I don't hear it because the number that you dial is different from the number that I use.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't hear it. I haven't heard it.
Oh, okay.
But ladies and gentlemen and friends in the quiet in the audience, I thank you for tuning in, and I'm gonna stop making that promise that it'll get better. I'm just gonna.
Lucy, we love it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We love it.
And you have such a good mix. I just love to hear you read it.
I just love it.
I just wanted to add one thing to her. Nobody talked about Greenwood Hotel. So the next time you talk about the hole in the wall and the speakeasy, you have to attach the Greenwood Hotel to it too now, okay?
Okay.
So we talking about black culture.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
The bugs and everything else. All right.
Have a question.
Wait, she got a question for you.
All right, tell them to make it quick.
I love the theme song to this show. Who's the musician doing that?
I don't know.
Oh, I love that.
That's
music.
That's one of those can things.
Oh, okay. Well, it is beautiful. It's kind of jazzy. I really like it.
All right. Well, I'm going to work on where I can get the use music. We just got to get the permission. All right.
Okay, good night, and thank you
all. Good night. We enjoyed it.
Good night.
Have a great night.
All right,
okay,
good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, good night, Brian.